As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
1-800-636-1067, the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. You're tapping into the youngest in Charles Linnell Willingham. I'll take you up to 340. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up for Nats and Rockies coming up at that time. 4:10 first pitch. Mackenzie Gore on the bump for Davey Martinez, his group. You can hear all of the action right here on The Fan. Big thank you to our guy Eric Flack of WSA9 for joining us, giving his 2 cents on what is next between the Washington Commanders and the city of D.C. when it comes to bringing the new Commanders Stadium back to the old RFK campus. According to multiple reports, this deal, quote-unquote, in the red zone, and is as close as it's ever been. 2030 is the target date. And what I'm infatuated with and what I'm excited about is Josh Harris and his 21 limited partners putting his money where his mouth is. And I mean that in the most respectful way possible. He has been a godsend to this tri-state, to this metropolitan region since he took over. But when you got 21 limited partners and you're from this area and you understand what the city of D.C. needs, not only do you get the chance to be viewed as a great football owner, I look at what type of long-lasting legacy he will have here in D.C. if he is able, with this stadium, to help revitalize this community on his own dollar. Your reaction to the news, 1-800-636-1067, and how do you view Josh Harris relative to the other owners in D.C. sports? Anthony's in D.C., wants to chime in. What's going on, Anthony?
Hey, Linnell, how you doing?
Doing good.
First things first, do you know why the water is cold yet?
Do I know why the water is cold?
Yeah.
No. No, I don't. What you mean by that?
You didn't do the homework assignment a while back.
Oh, my gosh. You asked me the movie.
No, not the movie.
No.
YouTube, Richard Pryor.
Okay, bet.
Mudbone.
Oh, yes, yeah. I'm writing it down in my notes right now. Chris, you're my witness. You see me with my notes app out. I'm typing.
Richard Pryor
Mudbone on YouTube.
Remember a while back we had that call when you were working with Chris. I asked you what you were in charge of.
Uh huh.
and I brought up and I said, in the words of Mudbone, blank 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 blank, and you got all upset. So. I'm telling you to listen to it, and it'll bring a call back to you, and you'll understand the reference.
Okay, bet. I got you.
So,
And I wasn't upset, by the way, Anthony. You know how I get down.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's all good.
What's going on?
So, with the stadium thing, it's a double-edged sword. So, like the old saying goes, you gotta spend money to make money. So, D.C. has to spend money in this particular case to help bring money into the district. You need money for initial development that coincides with follow-up development.
Right.
As the caller said earlier, the Navy Yard. Before the Navy Yard, Chinatown was a hellhole until A. Poland put the MCI Center. That's what it was called at the time.
Right.
Put the MCI Center downtown. So you have to invest to gain investment. As far as the kind of owner that Josh Harris is, I mean, who are we comparing him to? I mean, we got the Osas, he's decent. The learners are relatively cheap. And then you want to, if you want to get stupid and bring up Snyder,
then, you know.
So, and the way I'm saying it, mm-hmm. it's not to say that, you know, he's not doing a good job or he isn't excellent at what he's doing or anything like that. But I'm saying, yeah, it's not like he has the most competition in the world.
Well, that is very, very true. I will give you that. First of all, I'm glad you gave Ted Leonsis his flowers because I think, and I don't know, it feels like he has gotten a bad reputation from the local fans here because of the Wizards. But one thing I know about Ted as an owner, he is not afraid to invest into the product.
The move to Virginia didn't make everyone happy either.
The proposed move was to get DC to act right. So if people are upset about that, they need to stop crying. Anthony, we appreciate you as always, brother. I hope you enjoy your weekend, man. 1-800-636-1067. One thing I would say relative to Josh Harris, and I think Anthony makes a good point, the competition's not stiff. And when you own two of the four major professional sports teams around here, talking about Ted, like that's really the direct competition that we're looking at. Josh Harris is early in his tenure. I will say this though, he listens, man. Josh Harris has done nothing but listen since he's gotten here. And the beautiful thing that he was able to establish right away that I think Ted struggled with specifically is getting proper football people in the building. Now, the Ernie Grunfeld years, Ernie had a successful track record as a executive elsewhere. But Ernie also oversaw this franchise drafting acquiring Gilbert Arenas. Oversaw this franchise, you know, acquire a John Wall, a Bradley Beal. So, I don't know, man. It's interesting when it comes to DC sports ownership. Now, I know Ted, when did Ted officially take over DC sports, the Mystics and the Wizards? Because I know Abe Poland unfortunately passed away in the early 2000s. We talk about like a 2008, 2007 timeline, and maybe even sooner than or later than that. But I do think Josh has put himself in position.
It was finalized in 2010.
So it was finalized in 2010. So, okay. So those, to me, are the best two owners in town. I think the learners, we all understand. And I think they get a kind of a bad rap, too. But
I mean, they don't really want to own the team is kind of what it seems like. They're kind of waiting for somebody to buy it.
Well, they got a bunch of young pups that they're going to have to pay coming up here soon. So we'll see how invested they actually are. Let's go to Coach in D.C. What's going on?
Let's get it. First of all, I love your show.
Appreciate you, man.
Second of all, I'm kind of upset. I mean, I heard it earlier. You said something about where the stadium is going to be at. I understand. And it's still crime around there. And across the street is a war zone. It's not a war zone.
I'm talking about from Navy Yard. I'm talking about across the street from Navy Yard.
I know Delaware Avenue. I Delaware Avenue, Hayes Street, all that. I understand that. But it's gotten better. It's gotten better.
Brother,
but
are you really going? I'm gonna let you continue, but I'm gonna have to argue. I'm gonna argue you down on this one. I take the metro.
I take the metro here to work every day.
I take Navy Yard. I get off at Navy Yard. You know, there have been, in the last three summers, there are at least two murders right in front of that metro station every summer. It's just getting hot outside. It was cool during the springtime.
There's a ton of police activity down here last night, too.
It was cool during the wintertime. Springtime is when it gets warm, is when stuff starts to tick up around here. But I hear what you're saying totally. Go ahead, Coach.
Yeah, and it's gotten better. It used to be two, used to be triple that. So I'm just saying, it's still bad, but it's gotten better. But the owners, I mean, you're going to have to put Josh, even though he's a rookie, he's a tenure, is not as long as Jack and Cook so far right now, and A. Poland. Football rules in D.C.
Right.
So whenever an owner does great, and he did great his first year, and the team does good, it wipes everything out, every owner. I cannot say, A. Poland, I liked them until they came to D.C. I love bringing teams back to D.C. But the name, I just couldn't get with the name because they had a big contest of John, what name you wanted to be because they wanted to get away from the crime, like you said, for the Bullets name. Then they came up with the Wizards. And if you look at the mascot of the Wizards, it's a little white guy with a grand poobah hat. I'm going to leave it there. You know where that's going. And I couldn't get with that. That's why they're cursed. They would never win until they changed that name. To have a wizard, a grand poobah, in a city that was majority black at the time, that was crazy. I don't know how they came up with that name, but that's another story. But getting to the stadium. I coached in D.C. I coached football. I coached rec ball. I know kids in D.C. I know men who are now playing in the professional league. To bring the football team back to Washington, D.C. is a tremendous help, and I'm glad it is. But as I get older and as we all get older, we get wiser. And funding, even though it's limited funds, not limited, but it's not a lot of funds like other cities. The public is still going to pay. And one thing it's going to do,
for sure,
which is already doing in major cities, is gentrification. So the longtime residents, I'm talking about fourth-time generation residents who live around that area, the prices will go up or they will be priced out, point blank. The mom-and-pop stores around that area, which are already getting killed through A Street, they will be wiped out. That's what I'm looking at, the fifth and sixth generation. And
that's a fair concern.
Indirectly or directly, D.C. residents who can't even afford to go to the game, buy concessions, pay for parking, buy a ticket, will be paying for something that they can't even attend to go to. Now, don't get me wrong. Paying for it,
I want to change the verbiage that we use. I don't want to say paying for. I want to say investing in. Because, yeah, you may feel a financial loss initially, but with all of the business in money that is going to pump into the area, you're going to be able to publicly fund some other things. You're not going to have to defund things anymore. You may get some money back so we can continue to have after-school programs, continue to get, you know, funding for youth organizations like the ones that you work with. So I get your concern. We're up against the clock, brother, so I appreciate the call. Enjoy your weekend, man. 1-800-636-1067. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, more of your calls here on The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
one 800 636 1067, the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. You're tapped into the youngest of Charles Linnell Willingham. I'll take you up to 340 here this afternoon. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler will have you covered from there as they get you geared up for Nats baseball. The fellas in Colorado taking on the Rockies. It is a 410 first pitch, and per usual, you can hear all of the action right here on the Fan. NBA postseason got a quadruple header that's officially underway. Giannis and the Bucks, the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference, on the road, taking on Tyrese Halliburton and the fourth seed Pacers. First time out of this one, Indiana up 9. I'm upset about it. I went back and forth yesterday with Toby about how Giannis needs to force his way out of Milwaukee if they get bounced early here in the first round. I am genuinely at a point right now where it's like, yo, they got to figure something out. 15-8 lead for Milwaukee. And it's ironic. We got the news earlier. I didn't give it to you all, so I guess I'll do it officially now. Damian Lillard, who has missed a considerable amount of time with blood clots, expected to be available for either game number 2 or game number 3. Hopefully not too much damage done to Milwaukee before he's able to return to the lineup. We'll keep you up to speed on Bucks and Pacers all afternoon long here on the Fan. Coming up in about 10 minutes, our pal David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on the NFL draft and all things burgundy and gold. Right now, though, I want to continue to take your calls. According to multiple different reports here locally, the Commanders in the city of D.C. in the red zone when it comes to bringing the new Commanders Stadium to the old RFK site. Numbers that have been disclosed. Commanders looking to foot about $2.6 billion of a $3 billion stadium project. So I'm happy about that. I've long continued to say, look, man, I don't care where they ultimately play at, but if they're going to play in D.C. and, you know, everyone's going to get what they want, I hope that Josh Harris and company are able to foot at least 50% of the bill. They said, hold on, Linnell. You thought we were skinny? You thought our pockets and money wasn't long? The hell with footing just 50% of the bill, we're going to pay for a majority of it. So I'm super excited about it. Your thoughts on the news on RFK, and then where would you stack up Josh Harris amongst the owners in D.C. sports history? Will is in Brandywine, wants to chime in. What's going on, Will?
Hey, always a pleasure, Linnell.
Appreciate you, man. What's going on, man?
Not much, brother. You know, I appreciate you. But look, so I kind of feel sorry for PG County. I really do. The $800 million they offered just wasn't enough.
Just wasn't enough.
It just wasn't enough. And then as far as D.C., if they can get across the finish line without Westmore picking them off in the red zone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
it'll be a good thing. You know what I mean? I love the city. I'm from the city. I mean, my family's from PG County. It don't matter which one it is to me, but I'd love to see them go back to the RFK site. But I'm going to say this about the RFK site, Linnell.
Uh-huh.
One of the problems they always had with that site was Langston Golf Course, because they wanted a part of that property. I don't know if you're familiar with Langston Golf Course.
I'm not.
It was the only golf course that black people could play at forever.
Okay.
It's still there. I would love to see Josh Harris partner with Langston Golf Course and do something in and around that. That golf course is just north of the stadium. Mm-hmm. They could do some real special things if they partner with Langston Golf Course. Revitalize that place. You probably can get a little parking over there. You probably can get some retail. You probably can get tournaments for golf. It's a good little spot. So hopefully Mayor Bowles is thinking about Langston Golf. It's been neglected for decades. Appreciate you taking my call, bro.
For sure. Well, have a good weekend, my brother. 1-800-636-1067. You know what I just thought about, Metal Chris, and this is completely off topic. It's Easter weekend. So when I say happy, have a good weekend, I really mean that, people. Easter Sunday tomorrow. All you thirsty Commander fans out there, the Lord rose up. You need to put your hands together and thank him. Because I know a lot of you didn't think that this team going back to RFK was possible. I know you didn't believe it. It's the power of faith, baby. It's the power of faith.
Maybe we'll be doing an Easter egg roll at the RFK site in a couple of years.
See?
Right?
That you're thinking. You're thinking. That could be a cash cow, potentially, man. 1-800-636-1067. Steve is in Fairfax. What's going on, Steve? How you doing, brother?
What's going on, guys? I just want to say, you know, I think what Josh Harris is doing is just an awesome thing. I think he's like one of two owners in the whole league that's going to put up that kind of money. I think Kroenke in L.A. Mm-hmm. Did $3 billion for his. And I just, the thing about D.C. that I don't understand is the infrastructure, the $850 million that they're going to have to put up to, you know, get RFK situated. They have to do that regardless, even if it's a horrible, affordable housing, commercial space or whatever, or even if it wasn't RFK. That's going to have to happen in order to, you know, get the land ready for whatever is there. So if they want RFK there, or if they just want affordable housing, the infrastructure, they're already going to have to pay it. So why not, you know, have it be the $850 million for the stadium and then get all that revenue for, you know, the taxes and everything that's going to happen. And I understand the residents aren't going to be happy for that, you know, with the, having this, some of the, you know, stadium, some of the residents are going to be upset about it. But again, the amount of revenue, amount of things that are going to be happening for the whole entire area, it's going to be amazing.
Yes.
Like, why wouldn't you want that? Again, the money's going to have to be put up one way or another.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the big difference in all of this, Steve, is the fact that the investment now being put up by the city, I think, is minimal to what we were discussing before. Like, I thought it was a situation where they were going to have to kick out maybe $1 billion in funding. Like, that's – or $2 billion in funding. I didn't think that Josh Harris and company will put up this much money. Like you said, there's no guarantee that there's going to be a return on your investment. But when you have to fork out less money, I think it lessens the risk.
Well, I mean, and I think it just shows that the Harris Group, you know, Rails, all those guys,
yeah,
and they're from the area, you know, it, I don't think it's a flex on their part. I think it's just showing that they love this area. They're from the area.
Yep.
I think it's just them being good guys, which we know who the other owner was, you know, just who he was not.
Yeah.
But it's them saying, you know what, we trust this community. We know this community. I'm going to invest this in the community, and we're going to have, you know, great years and great infrastructure for years and years to come. They're not thinking, you know, next year. They're thinking long term.
Right.
You know, this is how they
play. And I think the citizens, Steve, need to think that way as well, brother. That's the difficult part here. Appreciate the call,
exactly.
Steve. Have a good weekend, my man. 1-800-636-1067. It's going to be fascinating. I can't wait to, first and foremost, I'll steal a phrase from Toby Altizer, who I was sharing the mic with yesterday, sitting in for JP and B. Mitch. Until they put shovels in the ground, though, it still is kind of wait and see. Wait and see. I forgot the... I think it was one of the last callers said, yeah, they're in the red zone, but hopefully it doesn't get picked off by Westmore in Maryland. So it is going to be very interesting to see what ultimately happens. Steven is in Arlington. What's going on, Steven?
Yeah, hey, how's it going? Yeah, just calling to say, like, I go to Hilly's every now and then. Like, definitely not a ton going on there. Like, there's the jail, there's the old hospital, like a lot of empty surface parking. But I think it's just kind of like a blank slate for the city to, like the last caller said, like maybe build some housing, put in some retail, like give the city a little like post-COVID bump. Like local news just ran a report a few weeks back saying like 40% of restaurants could close by the end of this year. Like,
wow.
Man. Yeah, like maybe like retail isn't such a like hot prospect in the city right now. So, you know, when what you're doing isn't working, just try something different. And like, I just think for the city from a fan's perspective too, it's just great to have like the Commanders back. But yeah, like could be good for the community too. We'll have to see, but yeah.
Appreciate your call as always, man. Enjoy the weekend. 1-800-636-1067. We'll take a timeout when we come back. David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, joins us next.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Lot more to get to here on this Saturday afternoon right here on The Fan. You're tapped in to the youngest in Charles Liddell Willingham. I'll take you up to 340. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up for Nats baseball at that time. The fellas in Colorado taking on the Rockies. And if you've been listening to the show, it is frigid out in Denver. So make sure you're wishing the Curly W's good luck. And, hell, maybe send them a coat or something. I mean, I have to. Baseball's probably the worst sport to play in the cold. I would just have to think. Like, football, I never mind playing football in the cold because it's never as cold as it actually seems once you get moving. But baseball, there's so little movement. Imagine being an outfielder and you got a dog on the mound and you're just standing out there in freezing cold temperatures all afternoon, not moving because the ball doesn't come your direction. That must suck.
See, I would say high diving seems like a terrible one to me.
Yeah, I would hope that
standing up on that ledge in some cold, chilly weather.
Well, I would hope that no high diving is happening during the cold months. But
hey, the good people got to practice year round, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. That is just absolutely awful. Right now, though, want to switch gears here a little bit. We've talked a lot about the Washington Commanders in D.C. and how they're on the doorstep of getting this new stadium deal done. Want to talk a little bit of X's and O's when it comes to the Burgundy and Gold. Right now, we go out to the guest hotline. We find out about David Harrison, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. Make sure you give him a follow on the old X app at DHarrison82. What's going on, Dave? How you doing?
What's up, man? How you been?
I'm good. I thought about you as I was mentioning, you know, the Nationals being in Colorado, taking on the Rockies. Yeah. It's going to be freezing in Denver as well for their playoff series. So it's going to be very, very interesting here over the next couple of weeks. You know how much I enjoy the NBA postseason. It's my favorite time of the year. I gave you a little bit of grief when they fired Mike Malone. Have you been able to keep up with the fellas post Mike Malone?
I mean, a little bit. You know what I mean? You know, I'm not, you know, I've got my focus squarely on football year round because it's, you know, the NFL is a year round thing. But yeah, I mean, I keep one eye on those guys, and, you know, it's unfortunate what happened down there. As far as, you know, the Nats playing in Colorado, I'll take this 80 degree Virginia day over that anytime.
Sure.
I'm good where I'm at. You know what I mean? But yeah, you know, I always have love for the Rockies, for the Avs, for the Nuggets, but also, you know, also want the hometown teams to represent as well. So, you know, it's always a good time when you have that mixture. But yeah, if the Wizards aren't going to be, you know, making noise in the NBA playoffs yet, then we'll see what the Nuggets can do, man. But yeah, it's tragic. That's the best word I can use for it. It's tragic to see that much potential kind of go to waste.
Yeah, for sure. They're going to have a super exciting playoff series though out in that Western Conference. So it'll be fun to keep up with you on that. The NFL draft, as you mentioned, you've been, you know, head first in breaking down the prospects and looking at the needs for the Commanders. We're 5 days out, David, from night one of the draft. What would be your ideal scenario on night one?
I mean, truthfully, for me, I think the ideal scenario would be for there to be five or six prospects at 29 that Adam Peters really likes and really wants to take, and somebody willing to trade up within those five or six, that five or six pick range that AP can make a deal, collect some more draft picks, move back, and still get a guy that he really wants. You know what I mean? I think that's what everybody's kind of talked about, is how top heavy this draft is. I think the more that I look at it, honestly, I think at 29, there are going to be some really good players still available, but there is kind of a cluster of, you know, whatever grade you want to give them, however your grading metric is. Like, if they're not A pluses, they might be A minuses, but there could be like five or six A minus guys that all fill a position of, you know, potential need or want, all have the potential to contribute as a rookie and also develop into somebody who can contribute, you know, long-term. But then again, like I said, you know, if a team like, you know, say the Cleveland Browns, in our Locked On Network mock draft, that's the trade I executed was with the Cleveland Browns. I moved the Commanders pick back to 33, netted some extra picks. They moved up to 29, got a tackle to go with their quarterback, and, you know, I was still able to get one of those five or six guys that I really liked at 29 at 33 and then collect more picks. So that, you know, to me, just with how this team is, one, still retooling, but also, two, still building, I think that if you can get more picks and still get a player that you like within a kind of the same window of space, then I think that's the most advantageous thing for Adam Peters to potentially do.
For sure. And it's one thing that's been kind of difficult about this, and I wonder if you've, you know, struggled with this as well. We keep talking about, you know, trade back possibilities and trying to, you know, our job is based on prognostications and forecasting what's going to happen. It's so difficult to project whether or not a trade back actually happens because you have no clue who's going to be on the board, which is why you alluded to, you hope there are five or six guys that are there. David, is there a position that, like, you can't see them taking at this point outside of the obvious one, right? Quarterback, kicker at 29. Is there a position that you would be surprised if they went?
I would be surprised if they went. I think I would probably be surprised at number 29. I mean, I guess I would be the most surprised, I should say. I don't know if I'd be surprised if they went anywhere, honestly, but I think I'd be the most surprised if they went tackle, just because you do have Laremy Tunsil and Brandon Coleman is a guy, you know, they really like, they really want to see what he can turn into. And, you know, if you drive a tackle in the first round, like, that dude's got to be a starter. You know, I'm confident that Dan Quinn, the coaching staff, are going to do the same thing they did with Jaden and every other pick. And, you know, you're not going to get anything until you earn it. and all that stuff. But there's also a flip side of that where, like, look, you can't draft a dude in the first round and then never start him because you're just going to get murdered by the media and the fans and everything else, right? Like, so, like, it's kind of – there's kind of two sides of that. Like, yeah, he's got to earn it, but the expectation is that he's going to earn it at some point in time, you know what I mean? So if you really – unless, like I said, and unless the plan is to move Brandon Coleman inside, which, you know, certainly there are advocates for that as well, and there are plenty of teams that projected him as a guard when he came out of TCU last year, you know what I mean? So – potentially that could be something that this team might be interested in doing as well. But, you know, I think, like you said, outside of like quarterback, kicker, punter, right? Like that's, I don't think there's really a position, because even the positions where you look at, like, you have a guy, you know, Bobby Wagner's obviously your off-ball linebacker, but can you justify going first round linebacker if there's were to be a guy, you know, just spitballing positions, if there were to be a guy there at 29 that you feel is worth that to develop into your future Bobby Wagner? Yeah, you could absolutely do that. Even, you know, the tight end position. I mean, John Bates, I think, is a great locker room guy. What he does really well. Zach Ertz says he, you know, might be the best blocking back that he's ever played with. Ertz himself, obviously, is a great player throughout his career and did a lot of good things last year. Ben Sinnott, we're all, you know, looking forward to his future. But, you know, if a top tight end prospect, I mean, I remember when O.J. Howard came out of Alabama, the mocks had him going like top five, top seven. And come draft night, he ends up slipping into the teams, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers pounced on him because of that potential. Like, if I think that would be a little bit surprising, right? But if a guy with, you know, top five, top 10 potential slips that far for some weird reason, depending on what that reason is, right? Then you could even see him go there. So maybe that position, tight end and tackle, might be the two that I would be most surprised. But yeah, I mean, Adam Peters has given himself all the optionality. That's his favorite word, right? So he's given himself all the optionality in the world, and I think he's done a good job.
For sure. David, the running back position is obviously another one that I think everyone feels like, yeah, they got to do something and bring in, you know, a little bit of juice into that position group. I continue to think throughout the process of, you know, declaring the need through the media and through the fan base, feels like we've kind of dunked on the guys that are, you know, returning in-house, Austin Ekeler, Brian Robinson. When you look at those two and what they were able to accomplish last year, obviously B-Rob struggled down the stretch. I still continue to believe that he wasn't all the way healthy, but that's just the case with every football player. What do you make of the Commanders' running back position, David, and would it be irresponsible to take one at 29 or 61?
Would it be irresponsible to take one at 29 or 61?
Yeah.
Not at all. You know, there are no running backs on this roster in 2026 as of right now. You know what I mean? Like, if you look into the future, this team doesn't have a single running back under contract for 2026. So if your plan isn't to re-sign at least one or two of these guys, you know, you kind of have to take a running back. And, you know, if you look at Brian Robinson as a guy like, hey, you know, at the end of the year, we'll try to get something done with him, then okay, maybe you don't have to take him at 29 or 61, but you do, you know, I think at some point in time, if the right guy is there, you need to go after a running back. As far as, you know, the potential of the room, I mean, I think B-Rob is a very solid back, and he's always been a capable back. Health has always been the biggest question mark, you know, with him. And unfortunately, some of it has been out of his control. Well, you know, most of it has been out of his control, really. But, you know, his first injury in the NFL, obviously, you know, immensely out of his control and tragic in a certain scope. I agree with you. I think last year, you know, the three injuries to his right leg, I mean, I think, you know, that's going to take a toll on any running back. I don't care who you are. And I think there's a combination of things. I think part of it is the evolution of Jaden Daniels in the offense. You know, the Commander's offense did kind of hit that lull there in the middle part of the season where everybody was kind of saying, you know, oh no, is this the classic Cliff Kingsbury midseason collapse? And where Jaden really took a step forward as taking control of the offense, and the passing game really kind of got loosened up, especially once he started moving Terry McLaurin around a little bit in formation and all those things. The run game really never got out of the mud, you know what I mean? So some of it could be scheme related and defenses figuring out how Cliff likes to use his backs. Some of it is offensive line related, because I mean, I think the most vivid game I can remember is coming out on Monday night against Cincinnati Bengals, where, you know, obviously Jaden had a great game, Terry, the great passes and catches and all those things. But that offensive line was exhausting. You know what I mean? Now, don't get me wrong, every man to a T was like, it's worth it to get these wins. But like these dudes, when you say like they're leaving everything on the field, they're leaving everything on the field in like week three. You know, there's only so much the human body can take of that before it starts to take its toll. So I think the line broke down a little bit. B-Rob broke down a little bit. Austin, you know, he himself, when he came here, said, like, he's not a bell cow. He's not a guy that's going to carry the load by himself. He's always, he knows that he needs to be part of a two-man attack. So Austin's not a guy that you can rely on, specifically as a primary back. And then the concussion obviously didn't help matters. Jeremy McNichols, a journeyman veteran, you know, good dude, but good player, but journeyman veteran for a reason. I mean, you know, that's just where the running back room is. I think you have a lot of solid dudes, but you don't have a star. You know what I mean? So if you want to go get that star running back, you know, the guy's not in the room as we see it right now. You know, could Brian Robinson be a star running back in this league if the line doesn't break down and the scheme doesn't get figured out and the injuries don't happen? Yeah, sure. But, you know, I've always kind of stood fast to, you got to, and I'll admit I stole this from a scout, you know, a pretty high scout on the team, you know, from years past. You have to draft based off of what you know, not what you hope. So what you know is that Brian Robinson, just over his career, has had issues staying healthy, not new to running back position, right? Austin Eckler's not a primary dude. Behind them, you've got a lot of good players that are not going to be star running backs in the NFL. So there's no reason, and none of them are under contract past the season. So there's no reason to not go after a guy as early as 29 or really anywhere on the board where you see a guy sitting there that you really want.
David, how do you balance need versus positional value when it comes to that position? Because if you're on the board at 29, let's just say Omarion Hampton is the guy that falls. I don't obviously see him falling, but say he does. Yeah. And it's Hampton there at 29, and then there's the defensive end there. How do you kind of, you know, gauge that relative to, like, the positional value of a back versus your glaring need at defensive end?
Yeah, they go hand in hand. You know what I mean? If you need, you know, a pass rusher coming off the edge, whether that's going to be an end or an outside linebacker, however you're going to utilize him versus how he's going to be listed. Like, if you need that pass rusher and you feel like you need a back that can come in and potentially challenge to be that number one from year one. There's if you look at them, it's kind of like two glasses, right? Which one is more full, which one is less full? And then look at that prospect. And if you pour that prospect into that glass, how much does that fill that glass, if that makes sense? And that's kind of a simplified way of looking at it. There's a lot more that goes into it, right? But, you know, talking on the radio, that's probably the best analogy visual I can try to give, right? So if Donovan Ezeraku fills that pass rusher glass up to the brim, and Omarion Hampton, in your opinion, as Adam Peters and that staff, fills that running back glass up three quarters of the way, to me, I'd say that tells you go Donovan Ezeraku. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that's part of the intricacy, and that's where, you know, every front office, I can almost guarantee you we're going to hear it at some point this coming weekend. They're going to say public perception is not always equal internal perception.
Right.
And these guys are always going to lean on the internal perception, as they should, because, you know, they know those guys, they know their team, they know the dynamics better than we ever will. So, you know, you and I may think Omarion Hampton gives this team something that is more special than what Donovan Ezeraku, just for example,
right,
gives you. There's no way you should pass up on Hampton. But Adam Peters and his staff sitting inside the war room may go, hey, Donovan Ezeraku is exactly the guy we need to go with, the combination of Dietrich Twise and Cleveland Farrell and Dorrance Armstrong Jr. on the opposite side to make this thing hum, along with Frankie Louvu as the opposite outside linebacker. That's exactly where we're going to go. And Joe Witt Jr., you know, might be sitting there saying, hey, you traded for Debo, you traded for Laramie, you got Jaden, you got Terry, you brought back Zach. Bro, give me Donovan. You know what I mean? Like, he might say, it's my turn, right? Like, to quote the great Skip Bayless, right? No, it's my turn. you know what I mean? Like, so there's a lot of details that go into it, but I think that, you know, if I can give a visual to it, that's the best way. And you know, what I always hope going into these events, man, is not to 100% agree with every single pick, but to understand why the pick is being made. That's what I try to do. And the further I have to stretch to understand the pick, and again, you know, great young man, so, you know, not trying to, like, dog anybody, but, like, the stretching I had to do to reach understanding of Emmanuel Forbes, like, I pulled a hammy, you know what I mean, trying to make that make sense, especially with Christian Gonzalez sitting there. Like, that's what you're hoping for, is that when the pick gets made, even if it's not the pick you would have made,
right,
whatever. But as long as you can understand where they're going, why they're going in, it makes sense. Because that's what we praise this team the whole, you know, year plus since they hired Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, is everything they do, you listen to what they say, and you say, you know what, I see where this fits with what they're saying. So as long as that continues, then, you know, whether we agree with the picks or not is going to be irrelevant.
I'll let you go on this, my friend. I appreciate you giving us some time. Off-season program, get ready to start, coming up in a couple of weeks. Which veteran are you most excited to see return?
Ooh, which veteran? I mean, you want me to go, like, from a football standpoint or, like, a personal standpoint?
Both. Let's give us both, because I know you got you're as plugged in as anybody in that locker room. So I'm sure you have a personal nugget as well.
I think from a football standpoint, and it's going to be hard early on, you know, to see what's really going to be effective. You know this from watching as many practices and stuff as you have. I'm excited to see Doris Armstrong.
Like, David, I feel like Doris. Can I stop you for a second? We're always on the same wavelength. That was the guy I was thinking, bro. Wow.
So
go ahead and expound upon that. That's awesome.
Like, I was just, you know, I was very excited to have him come over from Dallas. I saw what he did in Dallas with the limited opportunities that he got. Seeing him come to Washington, get the opportunity to be kind of that full-time starter. And I really had high hopes for him. And I don't think that he performed up to the level, like produced, I should say produced, right? He certainly had impact on the field, but I don't think he produced the way that he wanted to, the way that Joe Witt wanted him to, the way that I certainly hoped that he would. But what we all have to remember, and I remember talking about this when he first came over, is that this is going to be his, you know, 2024, this is going to be his first year as a full-time start. That's a totally different game. And now teams are going to scheme for you more, not like in the way they did like Micah Parsons, right? But if you're the full-time D end on that side, like that tackle, that tight end that might chip over there, whatever it is, they're scheming for you more than they ever have before. So those things matter. So that experience is important. Now we get Dorrance. Obviously, he knows Joe Witt. He knows Dan Quinn. He knows the defense. But now he's got that year of starter experience behind him. I want to see how that all comes together in this season. And I think, you know, we're going to get to the preseason joint practice against the Patriots and all that stuff before we really maybe start to see that. But obviously, the season is going to be that. But, yeah, I think from a football standpoint, Dorrance is definitely one of the guys I'm most looking forward to seeing, just, you know, if there is that progression in this second year as a starter. And then personally, I mean, Marcus Mariota. Like, Marcus Mariota is one of my favorite dudes in the locker room. I was supremely nervous that he was going to leave just from a selfish standpoint. I just love, you know, talking to him, catching up, and just asking how his family's doing, things like that. He's just a genuinely good dude to talk to in the locker room, even if you're not always talking business. And, you know, I think I said it to him in his Zoom when he came back. Like, I was just, you know, from a selfish, like, just a dude I really like to talk to, Marcus Mariota, supremely excited that he's coming back.
David, I appreciate you giving us some time. As always, my friend, we'll talk soon.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
That is David Harrison. Make sure you download the Locked On Commanders podcast wherever you get your podcast. And check out his work also at WSA9.com. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, more of me here on The Fan.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.